And it's time to have our third conversation of the day, and we're going to have a chance to speak with a good friend of mine, Randy Fox. I think Randy is really one of the true thought leaders in the world of philanthropy, and he's just become the editor-in-chief of the Plan Giving Design Center, where he's helping those in the wealth management world integrate plan giving with wealth management. Today we're going to speak with Randy about one of my favorite topics, which is how can you integrate philanthropy with your business and family to bring about learning opportunities, specifically around money skills for the younger generation? So, hi, Randy. How are you today?
Hi, Josh. I am great. How are you?
I am doing just about perfectly, so thanks for asking. So let's jump right into this, because it's kind of a morass of a topic. How does philanthropy fit in with teaching children money skills?
Well, it so happens you picked one of my favorite topics, Josh. I've been a believer for a long time and have read and read a lot of anecdotal evidence and have talked to a lot of other professionals about this very subject. And it's just a wonderful way to teach children about the benefits of wealth that isn't theirs. So it allows them to realize, number one, that they're fortunate. You can use it to apply teaching money skills and investment skills and spending skills and discernment skills with money that's not theirs. And you can teach them to give back to the community at the same time. So I think you can kill a lot of birds with that same stone.
So you just hit on three different areas, which is money that's not yours. And why is that important versus money that is yours?
Well, you know, money is probably one of the most highly charged subjects in most families. And in mid-wealthy to very wealthy families, sometimes, often you see an attitude or a profile of entitlement where the children think they're going to receive money and have expectations around what they're going to do with it and how much they're going to get. And it can have a very negative effect if the parents aren't careful in monitoring that that path. With the family gathered around philanthropy, there's money set aside to go outside the family to places in the world where it's needed, whether it's to the local food pantry or to the Little League team. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that it's not the kids' money for themselves. So they actually have to think about people other than themselves. So it becomes a very strong emotional psychological tool to teach kids money skills.
So what kind of conversations would you recommend that parents have with their children about philanthropy and money skills?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, let's start with the very basics. Parents need to talk to their kids about money. I've often said, and I'm not the only one to say this, that parents would rather talk to their children about sex than money, and they don't want to talk about sex. So money is often taboo. In households. And I think step one is to overcome that taboo. And that means the parents really have to understand their own relationship with money. And that often requires work because husbands and wives often differ. If they're wealth creators, their attitude is different than if they're inheritors. So there's a lot of dynamic that goes on. But first and foremost, let's start the discussion. And the trick is to be open. The challenge is to be open. The challenge is to be honest. With younger kids, you have to have your discussions kind of weighted towards age appropriateness. Young children really don't understand amounts or numbers that well to know 1,000 is different than 1,000,000 is different than 10,000,000. So that's not as important at young ages, but as children age, you know, you can age the conversation appropriately.
So you mentioned something a little while ago about moderate and heavy wealth. What kind of money, using real dollars, do you think a family needs to have before using philanthropy as a teaching tool becomes effective?
Well, that great question. I don't think there's any number. Most families in the United States give. I think it's 97 or 98% of the families in the United States give. And the 2 or 3% that don't give are probably the people that are living on the street and can't. So whether your income is $50,000 or your income is $50 million, you can still shepherd your children along in the giving process, whether it's putting money on the collection plate at church or doing acts of charity by volunteering. Money is not the issue.
What do you tell parents if their children are really excited about supporting a charity that the parents don't really like a lot personally?
This is very often the case, and I think, again, some of this depends on the age of the kids, but I think it's very important that children's beliefs are heard and honored. Parents don't have to agree. I think they should, again, depending on the age, ask the children to justify why they're giving to the or want to give to a certain organization, what their thought process was in picking the organization. But that really helps the child develop their own individuation, so they're not behaving as parrots of just following what their parents did, and they're allowing themselves to become their own unique person and finding out the things that they believe in that are important that might be completely different from their parents. And this is a challenge for parents, because we all want our kids to be, you know, to believe in the same things we do. I do think it's possible for families to talk about what the values of the family are and develop their core values and their core mission, and see if the kids' charity or the children's charities align with those values and mission. And if they do, then, you know, so what if it's different than exactly what the parents think?
That seems to make sense to me. So how do you think philanthropy...
By the way, this isn't done... I'm sorry to interrupt, Josh. This is not done nearly enough.
What is not done nearly enough?
This practice, you know, parents often try to bully their kids and browbeat their kids into doing what they want. So even the discussion is a difficult discussion, and most parents, you know, really aren't equipped or have the tools personally to have those conversations. So, you know, parents kind of need to train themselves or get the help of someone who can help them, guide them in this conversation with their children.
That's actually a really good point. So where would parents find that sort of information?
Well, there are a number of books. There are a number of professionals that are equipped to do that, people that have been specifically trained. Some are therapists, some aren't. Some are professionals like yourself who've been through specific trainings in how to facilitate family conversations.
Okay, and if I wanted to find somebody like that or find a book I could read, where would I look?
Well, that's a good question. Roy Williams has written a couple of books called Preparing Heirs. There's an organization called 2164 that has great materials for age-appropriate. It's 2164 actually speaks to how to empower the next gen in philanthropy. So it's the 64-year-olds talking to the 21-year-olds, but they actually go down lower than that in age. Tracy Gehry has several books out on philanthropy and family, and there's a lot of others as well. As far as professionals, there are some training programs in the country that the Heritage Institute is pretty good at helping train financial advisors in how to facilitate families. Legacy group out in Boston, and a few others around the country.
So I'm assuming if you did a Google search, you probably could find help that would, or people who can help you, and books that would help with this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, members of Advisors in Philanthropy, members of the Purposeful Planning Institute, if they can't do it themselves, they'll know someone who can, right?
Makes sense to me. So let's switch gears for a second.
Sure.
Where do you think philanthropy fits in with our listeners who own businesses? You know, I'm so busy building my business, I don't have time for it. That's what I hear all the time.
It's interesting because as many business owners say that, they don't really practice that. Most business owners tend to be very philanthropic and don't think of it as philanthropy. They belong to the Rotary, the Kiwanis, the Lions. They belong to their church or synagogue. They have children on the Little League team. They're on the PTA, or their spouses are on the PTA. Those are all charitable acts. In light of that, having them expand that philosophically is not really that difficult. It's just a matter of business owners, most of them, in my experience, and I know this is true for you, don't think of themselves as wealthy, even though they're among the wealthiest people in the country. And so they never think they have enough money to do these things, and they do it in lots of ways. Also, exiting a business using philanthropy as a strategy is one of the great ways for business owners to save tax and create a retirement income off of a liquidity event. So there's lots of ways the conversation can come up and be involved in the business owner's life.
So when you have a conversation with a business owner about philanthropy and they tell you that they really don't have time or money, how do you help them discover that that's not really true?
Well, I think it's just a questioning process. Let's see if I have this right. Here's what you say your income is. So, and your family kind of lives modestly, and so how come you don't have money? I understand you're busy at work. But you do go home every night, so you probably have a little bit of time. Where are you involved at in the community? What are the things that interest you? What are the things that drive you crazy in business that you'd like to see changed? There's lots of different approaches to having this conversation. And again, I think philanthropy is not the only conversation. If you do that, it's kind of the old saying, if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. I think the conversation has to be part of the larger conversation about your life, your future, where you are, where you want to go, and how do you want to get there, and does philanthropy fit in that picture? Does it fit for everybody? No. Absolutely not. Can it fit for more people? Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So, again, if we're going back to our business owners, and how would you recommend they integrate teaching their children about their business? And is there a place for using philanthropy for helping business owners teach their children about business and what makes a business work?
Interesting question. In most business owner families, again, I know you're aware of this, in most business owner families, the business makes up the significant part of the family's net worth. It makes up a significant commitment of the family's time. It makes up a significant amount of the family's conversation, typically. So it would not be out of the question to think that integrating the philanthropic conversation and watching the kids handle family philanthropy would be a great training ground to see how they manage things, how they manage affairs, how they make decisions. And a good business owner can not only judge those skills, but mentor the kids in the financial decisions, how to look at a charity to see if it's going to effectively use their resources, and to tie that back to here's how we would do it in the business. So if you're trying to teach your kids to take over the business, it would be pretty easy to have something as neutral as philanthropy be give some guideposts as to how the children are developing in financial responsibility and decision making.
Cool.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what kind of potholes or mistakes would you recommend the business owners be aware of when they're talking to their family or they're thinking about using philanthropy as a teaching tool?
Like any other financial tool, I think it's helpful for the business owner to have guidance. I think a lot of times the most common thing a business owner will say when you say, what about charity, is, of course, the charity begins at home. And it can be a very risky conversation to talk about making a big commitment to philanthropy from the family standpoint without the children and or spouse thinking that there'll be less for them or that they're going to be disinherited or, you know, somehow the business is going to go other than where they want it. So like anything else, I think you have to be cautious about how things are said, when they're said, why they're said, and having the family develop an overall mission and vision together alleviate some of that, but it's easy for people to, you know, get worried that what they think they're going to get, they're not going to get, and that philanthropy is somehow going to take money away from them, so therefore it's not a good thing to talk about.
So that one final question, and then we'll figure out how to find you. So children are sometimes concerned that philanthropy is going to take money out of their pocket. How do you recommend parents handle that?
Well, again, first of all, parents as a family unit have to decide how much is enough for their kids. And there's no right answer to that. If it's the whole estate or part of the estate or nothing, it's really up to the parents to decide what's right. Once they've reached that decision, again, my belief about open and honest family discussions is here's what we're going to do. Here's why we're going to do it. We've decided that this is the amount we think you should have, and we're going to make sure that no matter what, how we do our philanthropy, this is what you're going to get. Again, what's bad is a surprise. What's bad is I thought one thing and something else happened. What's okay usually is I know what is expected of me. I know what to expect, and you know, it's really their decision and their money. This sounds easy. It's very difficult because, again, children who have been brought up for 25 years thinking one thing, if all of a sudden they hear something new, that can be difficult. If you start early in this conversation and that's just what life is, then it's usually not a problem.
Cool. So our time is up, and I want to make sure that our listeners know how to contact you if they're interested in more information. So how would they do that?
The best way is probably directly to my email, and the best one there is randyafox1@gmail.com.
Well, that's great. So if people want more information, I'm assuming you're okay with them emailing you.
Absolutely. Happy to hear from anyone. And I have lots of resources at my disposal, both from Plain Giving Design Center and the Charitable Giving Resource Center that I'm also involved in. So, and I know most of the philanthropic planners in the country, as you know, Josh.
Great. Randy, thanks so much for your time today. This was really enlightening and useful. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on, Josh. It's always great to talk to you and look forward to talking to you soon.
I hope so. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Business Sustainability Radio Show with Josh Patrick. Join us again next time, and let's explore some really interesting ways to make your business and your life even better on the